You're listening to the audio podcast of the weekly message preached at Central United Methodist Church in Arlington, Virginia. You're invited to worship with us in person on Saturdays at 4:30 p.m. or virtually through Zoom or Facebook on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. Visit us at www.cumcballston.org. There you can learn more about our congregation and how we worship God, serve others, and embrace all.
From Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Thessalonian churches that is in God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to all of you. We always thank God for all of you when we mention you constantly in our prayers. This is because we remember your work that comes from faith, your effort that comes from love, and your perseverance that comes from hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God the Father. Brothers and sisters, you are loved by God, and we know that He has chosen you. We know this because our good news didn't come to you in just in speech, but also with power and the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. You know as well as we do what kind of people we were when we were with you, which was for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord when you accepted the message that came from the Holy Spirit with joy in spite of great suffering. As a result, you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The message about the Lord rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place. The news about your faithfulness to God has spread so that we don't even need to mention it. People tell us about what sort of welcome we had from you and how you turned to God from idols. As a result, you are serving the living and true God, and you are waiting for His Son from heaven. His Son is Jesus, who is the one He raised from the dead, and who is the one who will rescue us from the coming wrath. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you all for having me here as a part of your worship experience. I'm so sorry that Pastor Sarah couldn't be here. I am a poor substitute, but I am thankful for the opportunity to be here. You are so very blessed, as you already know, to have Pastor Sarah. She is a delightful person and a person of deep faith. I have met her mother doing a charge conference at another church, and she spoke highly of the work that Sarah loves working with all of you and doing this fantastic work here at Central. I bring you greetings from your sister church, St. James United Methodist Church, where I serve currently and have for a number of years, and also as the district connector here on the eastern part of our large Northern Virginia district. I bring you greetings from the district as well. As we gather in this space today, we realize that our time in this space is coming to an end. Now, for you online who will be continuing to join us online, the space will look a little different in the coming year, but it might feel very similar from wherever you're coming to us. But it's important for us to remember where we're going, where we've come from, and what it is that's called us to this ministry in this world. And I am certain, between all of the many challenges we've faced in the pandemic and afterwards, the challenges for you all as you moved out of space that you knew into borrowed space for a period of time, this is a challenge. It's a journey and a challenge, and it's hard to hold on to faith and hope in the midst of all of that sometimes. In the midst of it, you're like, one more time, and we've got to go and set up in another space that's not really our space, and we've got to be there. When will we reach the promised land? When will we reach that space we've been waiting for? But it's important to also remember who you are and what brought you to this space. It was a vision for a future where people would have a place to live who might not otherwise have a place to live. It was about doing something that would change the world in which we live. Now, today I chose a passage to share with you. 1 Thessalonians, from 1 Thessalonians. And the passage, it's from the Revised Common Lectionary, which if you don't know what that is, you can live without knowing that. But the truth of it all is it's a three-year cycle of readings that are suggested, and many churches follow. I chose 1 Thessalonians because in it I saw some important messages that I thought were vital that we hear as people of faith, whether you're here at Central United Methodist Church or whether you're in any church anywhere, wherever you are in the world, it contains that kind of reminder. Now, I want to say just a word of background. I don't want us to get bogged down in 1 Thessalonians. We could, but where it came from. We believe this is perhaps the earliest letter of Paul in the New Testament, probably written in the late 40s. That sounds, I'm not talking about the 1940s. I'm talking about the late 40s. I'm talking about 40s, like from 0 to 40. So, you know, Jesus was crucified somewhere around 30, 32, 33, somewhere around there as the calendar goes. And Paul was writing about 20 years later. And we often think of the Bible as being written concurrently with Jesus' life. It wasn't written until much later. Some of it much, much later. And this is probably the first writing we have from the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians. And Paul is writing to the people of Thessalonica to encourage them. They're doing good work. They're doing good work, but they're also facing challenges. They're facing the challenges of a persecution. Now, of course, in today's world, we're facing the challenges of irrelevance. The church is considered by so many people in the world to be completely irrelevant. Perhaps more than irrelevant, for some people, it's actually a dangerous group. For some folks outside the church, we're seen for the things that pedophile priests have done, or other kinds of televangelists who bilk people for money do. And they begin to say, well, what really does the church do? Why does it matter? 2,000 years later, why does it matter? And I suspect that Paul is writing to the Thessalonians because they're asking the questions, why do we keep doing this? This is hard work, and the community we're in doesn't want this work from us. They don't want it so badly that they're persecuting us, putting us to death, and all of the like. I guess at least for us 2,000 years later, no one's yet putting us to death. They're just ignoring us. And we have to ask the question, is this message a message we can continue to carry? How do we hold on to what is core to the Christian life, which is hope. Hope, which grounds us in this moment to look at a future and say, because we're walking forward into a future that God is beckoning us to, because we're making choices right here and right now that can make a difference tomorrow, that's why we keep walking forward. We are grounded in a faith that teaches us we don't always get to see what fruit is planted, what fruit grows from the seed that we're currently planting and laying out in this world. And that's hard work. You know, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. But the next best time is now. You're not going to get shade from it. Maybe you won't live long enough to get shade from the tree or apples from it. I used to think you just plant an apple tree and a couple of years later there was a bunch of apples you could just go pick. It takes years for an apple tree to mature to a point where it produces fruit that you'd want to eat of a size that's delicious enough to enjoy. Planting seeds requires that we be grounded in hope. The kind of hope that Paul writes to the Thessalonians about. And he starts off, In all of Paul's writings, this is his longest. He takes three chapters to say how thankful he is for the people of the Thessalonica. Three chapters. That's a long thank you. That is a really wicked long thank you. Thessalonians only like five chapters long. So three of them spent saying, hey, thanks for being a great people. And they needed to hear it. And I know you need to hear it. Verse 4 says something that you need to hear every single day and believe every day of your life. This is what verse 4 says. Brothers and sisters, you are loved by God. Now, I'm not just talking to you, brothers and sisters, who are sitting in the room with me. I'm talking to you online. He'll be watching tomorrow or whenever you're going to be watching. The bottom line is, you are loved by God. You can't do anything about it. I used to have this wonderful experience, challenging experience. You know, teenagers. My daughter, Hannah, when she was a teenager, she's 29 now, so this is a long time ago. Ancient history. I'm ancient, it feels like. But in any case, as a teenager, when she was trying to learn her words to speak about how she felt, and when she was angry with me as her dad, and when her angst would reach its height, Hannah Grace would say to me, that's her name, Hannah Grace. Hannah Grace would say to me, I hate you, Dad. I hate you. Now, some people may see this as passive aggressive, and some people may see it as something else. But the truth was, it was the truth for me. My response to Hannah Grace when she would say that to me is, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I'd love for you to respond. I'd love for you to respond in that love. And that's what God's saying to you today. That's what Paul wants the people of Thessalonica to know. But God, through the Apostle Paul, wants you to know this too. You're loved. You are loved by God, and there's nothing you can do about it except respond. Except respond. And Paul has already seen that response, and he says that the verse before. I mean, he waits to say it until verse 4, which, by the way, this was not numbered until we wanted to be able to find what the things were written down. Originally, it was just like a letter. Do you number every one of your sentences when you're writing a letter to somebody? You know, I don't know anybody who, if you do, I'm interested. After worship, I'd like for you to tell me about that. But I suspect none of you number that. And when Paul was writing this letter, he did not number his, we numbered it so that we could find things, make reference to it, that kind of thing. So in verse 3, he talks about faith, he talks about love, and he talks about perseverance because of hope. Now, you all know how hard it is to persevere. Because I know your history. I know Central's history because I sit on a district committee that had to help you all along the way, or at least listen to your plans and help the discerning process. I sit on the church location and buildings committee, and so I heard you all and how one set of funding for your new church went through, and then another one, and then something else, and then something else. And you did not give up. You did not give up hope. I don't know how you held on to hope. I'm not sure. I wouldn't have given up, sisters and brothers. But you did not. I want to pat you on the back. I want to encourage you. I want to say how proud I am of all of you, of the hard work. I know how hard Gene worked at this. And the rest of you too. To be in a borrowed space. Quite frankly, all of life is a borrowed space. Central doesn't belong to you. I mean, these bodies don't belong to us. But to be sitting in a borrowed space with a hope for a future that you cannot see, trusting in a God, having faith in a God that you can't always feel, that's hard work. And that's what you're called to. It doesn't matter whether the world tries to persecute us or considers us irrelevant. It doesn't matter, because you bear witness to something bigger than all of that. Love wins. You are loved by God, and you cannot do anything about it except respond in faith and hope, and you have. And be committed to that future. And you are hanging on and being committed. I see that. I see that as an outsider. Maybe as insiders, it's hard for you to remember how hard the road has been. Maybe it's really easy for you to remember how hard the road has been. You're still picking things out of your feet from the long path, you know, the rocks and the nails and all the impediments. You may still be on that road. But as an outsider looking in at you, I just want to tell you, you're inspiring. You're inspiring. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians because if they didn't get inspired and stay true to the hope, there might not be Christianity today. Have you ever thought about that? The New Testament is a witness to the fact that people in the midst of challenges pressed forward, and that's why there's a church today. We've made lots of mistakes in the last two millennia. You know, allying with Rome, that was probably not a good move for the church to, join up with empire. But in 325, it seemed like a good idea to some of the church parents, and they did. And now we are completely unallied with governments. And that's probably good. But it's hard. It's hard work. It's hard work to be considered irrelevant, because love doesn't matter in the world. There are lots of other things people measure our lives by. But I like to believe in a God who measures your life and looks at your life for the love and faith and hope you carry forward, the commitment you've shown to get to this place. There are lots and lots of people whose name will not be remembered. There's a couple of people mentioned in the book of Thessalonians, but their names of the average everyday worshiper aren't remembered. But what they did, people were talking about them. People were talking about them, saw their faith. And I cannot help but believe people look at the faith of the folks of Central United Methodist Church and see what a difference you're trying to make in your community. Now, it might not be everyone. It might not be everyone. It might not be a whole lot. But you witness to love because of hope. Hang on to that hope. There are some times it wants to run away from you. Hang on to that hope, like the Thessalonians did. They must have hung on. And you know how I know? Because otherwise that book wouldn't have made the Bible, because everyone would say, you know, they didn't cut it. They didn't cut it. There are stories of people who didn't succeed in faith. Some of them are told, so we'll know, in the Bible. We're pretty honest, particularly in the Hebrew Bible, very honest about people who mess up. But a lot of times the people who totally messed up don't make it in here because they just never made a difference. The people of Thessalonica did. The people of Central United Methodist Church, in person and online, are and will. Hang on to that hope. Sisters and brothers, hang on to that hope. And when all hope fades, remember, you are loved by God. You are infinitely precious and unconditionally loved for the gift, not you will be, but that you already are. You are a gift and a witness. And for that, I am thankful. I am thankful. Thank you for letting me be here to share a word from 1 Thessalonians today.